to which I've never been before. No sad goodbyes will there be spoken, for time won't
places. Amen. Brother John, if you would, help us take up the tithes and offering. Precious Lord Jesus, we thank you, Father, we can gather once again in your name, Lord Jesus. And Lord, we are truly longing, Lord, for that sweet Beulah land, Lord Jesus. Oh God, that eternal home, Lord Jesus. Oh Father, we pray you keep our minds on those things, Lord, on our heavenly home. Lord, we pray you bless the rest of this service, Lord. The tithes and the offerings may be used for your honor and your glory. And Lord, may you just prepare our minds, Lord, to receive what you have through your gift this day. Bless your people, Lord. We commit this service into your hands. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day,
to sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church. I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born. I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. I'm in this church, I'm in this church, this glorious church. I did not join, no, I was born, I had a new birth. Some glorious day, gonna sail away. It's by His grace, not by my works. I'm in this church, and we've got Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line. Now call him up, oh, just call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want, call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want, call him up, call him up. Tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line now. Oh, if you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want. If you want salvation, tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line now. You call him up, you just call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want, Jesus on the main line now. If you want your family, oh, if you want your family, tell him what you want. If you want your family, just tell him what you want. If you want your family, tell him what you want. We got Jesus on the main line now. Deliverance. Oh, if you want deliverance, tell him what you want. If you want deliverance, tell him what you want. If you want deliverance, tell him what you want. We got Jesus on the main line now. How do you tell him? You just call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up and tell him what you want. Call him up, tell him what you want. We've got Jesus on the main line now, on the main line. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line, tell him what you want. We've got Jesus on the main line now. One more time. Oh, we've got Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. Jesus on the main line. Tell him what you want. We've got Jesus on the main line now.
Amen. Believe that. Amen. You're his, you're his child. He's a good father. So you just call him up. Amen. Sister Jessica, we come for your special.
Thank you. house on the hillside that overlooks life's sea. When I'm tossed, it sends out a light so that I might see. And the light that shines
as we turn the order of the service over to Brother Wade.
With a grateful heart, give thanks. An opportunity to see this blessed message and to be a part of it. Something that the world, you know, the world's looking for it. They just can't find it. Satan puts everything in the world. I was thinking while I was watching Brother Michael, I watched him since he was a little boy, and he's a young man now. And I pray that God keep his hand on him because he's got a work to do. All of you young people, you got a work to do. Because we are getting older. We were talking yesterday at the post office and somebody said something and they said, well, you're just, you know, you act like a 30-year-old. You just, you know, I run circles around him. I got one girl in there. She's about 25 years old and I don't think she has a second gear. It's just first gear is about all she's got. But listen, Brother Tony, if you got a transmission and ain't got but one gear, you can't make a second gear. She just don't have a second gear. But we've seen those. And I told him, I said, that's pretty good. I said, but you know, I said, if the Lord tarries, I only got about 20 good years left. I'll be 84 in 20 years. So they all paused the whole, yeah. Well, some of you older ones, bless your heart. But, I mean, when you think of it in that aspect, you time is short. When you're 25 and 30 years old, you do not think about Social Security and which I'll get my first check next month. And June's already drawing hers, so don't be laughing. She's older. I mean, she's decided to draw hers before it all runs out. But when you look at it in that aspect, you really don't have but about, you know, if you're 64, you maybe 20 good years left even to be on this earth. And when you look at it that way, I want to think about something greater. Amen. I want to think about something that carries us just like Abraham got the promised son. Took him 25 years to get it, but he did get it. Right. So we've had a promise in the end time of a body change and of a resurrection and of going in a rapture and going to another dimension for a little while till God cleans this nasty earth off. Then we're going to come right back down here and we're going to live here, not in heaven on a cloud. John saw the city coming down out of heaven. John was on earth. So we're going to have a city here. This is where we're going to live. God made this earth to be inhabited. He didn't make this earth to be destroyed. He made it to be inhabited. He loved this earth so much, it's where he put us. Right. He could have put us somewhere else, Brother Darty. He put us right here in this earth. This is his, and this is, listen, this is our domain. Adam lost it. Adam had it. He was the god of the earth. So what are we going back to, Brother John? God can't change his mind. We're just going to loop right back around, and we're going to be god of the earth again. Amen. But let's see a little bit of it. I was looking at watching Sister Jessica in the back, and I don't know if all of you know, but Sister Jessica's grandfather was one of our pastors at Brother Homer Mansfield down in Athens. Some of you, I don't know if some of you went to church there or not, but I think Julie did and Janet, but different ones. But we started here in Gainesville, and then we went to her grandfather's, and I've known her family longer than she has. But here we are, full circle, come back around, and here the granddaughter stands in the church singing. And we sure appreciate Sister Guest and Brother Chris and Sister Jessica all, and we appreciate them. We would have liked it if they'd have brought some boys into the mix, because it looks like all we got girls coming in, whatever chromosome that is. We ain't been able to figure out how to get a boy chromosome in this church, but some of you can start. Some of us can't. But time's fleeting, and we got to take every moment that we can for the Lord. This thing is going to end up with a group of people on the earth called a bride. And a bride of the end time, a bride that has the message of the end time, not a message of the first church age or the second church age, but a bride in the end time that has the message to call the dead out of the ground. It's not going to be a toot, toot, toot. We know that. It's going to be a voice. And that voice is going to be in the bride. And it already is in the bride. We just got to get to that. All right? And we're striving for that. Let me read you one more quote here. Look, can't remember who said this, but it says, nothing ever goes away until it teaches us what we need to know. Think about that. Nothing ever goes away until it teaches us what we need to know. Because, listen, we're Christians and we're progressive. Not progressive like the world. We're progressive in God that he's always moving. And if God's always moving, we better get in there with him. All right? And these trials, we don't stop at trials. We go through trials. We go through them. When we go through them, the test, it becomes a testimony at the end. And then the scars that we have, they do not compare with the scars he took for me and you. No. He physically was nailed to a cross. You and I have not had that happen yet. But we do need to bear our cross as Christians and pick up the cross and follow him. So God bless you, Brother Aaron will be speaking for us Wednesday night. Remember, next weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday, 7, 3, and 9:45. We'll have a meal. Also remember, April the 14th will be one service. And then after the first service, need all the men to stay in the sanctuary. But my lovely wife told me a few minutes ago, she said that a way to a man's heart is through his stomach. So y'all go downstairs and eat first. Then come back up here on April the 14th. And we'll just have the men come up here. And y'all will have a full stomach. So instead of grumbling out of your mouth, your stomach, you can... I didn't say that right. I'm sorry. But that's not what it's going to be. But really, go ahead and eat something, and then we'll come back up here at about 1 o'clock, April the 14th. That's a few weeks from now. So if you're not going to be here, let me know, and we'll run a copy off for you to listen to. Brother Joe, we'll not put it online, but we'll have it just for the church, okay? We love you. We love you with the love of the Lord. We love your soul. Flesh every once in a while, I don't know. But Brother Dale's always said, he said what? He said, I'm talking to your soul. If you can ever get that soul to respond, then he's got something to hold on to. You can get happy in the flesh. You can get all kind of feelings and emotions, and that could be the devil. But when God burns that thing out of your soul, and he comes and inhabits your soul, you are changed for the rest of your life into eternity. Amen. So that's what we want to do. We want everybody. If Ephesus was a powerful church, everybody with me, say amen. Amen. If Ephesus was a powerful church, there's only 12, but they were 12 men that all had the Holy Ghost. So now in the end time, the Omega Bride has to have a group of people, I believe, that's a powerful church, and that includes sisters and brothers. Amen. A powerful church is everybody with the Holy Ghost. And all the problem, no, they may stay. But well, we won't have as many. We'll know how to handle them. All right? I think that's what it was. I don't think the early church just was, they was on a, you know, bubble dance. No, they had their issues. They had their problem. They had their sons of Sceva. They had their their Simon the tanner. And they had all these different ones that were, you know, they all were trying to combat the early church and same. We have the same here. But listen, we're overcomers. Through what? Through Christ that strengthens us. All right, so we just pray that we're praying for Brother Aaron on Wednesday night, and we appreciate these brothers doing the job that they do. God's called us a good group of people, and I believe they're solid. And we, Brother Dutch asked me last night. He said, "I don't have nobody when I leave. I have to call somebody in." I said, "Well, you can't have none of mine." I said, "He wanted them April the 14th," and I said, "No, I need to have them here on April the 14th." But he's going to get somebody. But it is pretty rough if you don't have a minister. Brother Dale, he worked 8 to 10 hours a day, led singing, and preached every service. There wasn't a minister in here. Brother Collie was the first one, really, I think, that ministered a good bit to help Dad out. And we appreciate that because it really, it's burdensome when you have to do it all by yourself, you know. And Brother Collie come in, different ones. And helped out, and we sure appreciate that. Brother Collie led singing one time, except for a while, didn't you, buddy? Yeah. Yep, sure did. You want to do it now? Okay. He said, "I'll just do responsive reading." Okay, just do responsive reading. That'll be fine. We appreciate all these elders in the church. Amen. Listen, they've been through a lot. So if you need some wisdom, talk to somebody who's been through it before. Don't talk to somebody who's not been through it before. Talk to somebody who's been through things before. But we appreciate you. Let's bow our heads, and we'll get started with the church age, next new church age. Dear Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd be with us. Sanctify us for this journey. Bless the ones that are sick. Bless the ones that are sin sick, Lord. Call them to you, Father. Lord, in the still of the night, Lord, call their name. And Lord, may they call your name in repentance and come to you, Father. It's getting late, late hour. As we said before, we're bumping up against time here. And we're all getting older, Lord, and I pray that you just help us to do the things we need to do. Strengthen us, keep us all well and strong. We ask these in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelations 1, I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day and heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet saying, "I am Alpha and Omega, the first and the last. And what thou seest, write in a book and send it unto the 7 churches which are in Asia. Ephesus, Smyrna," we're getting ready to talk about Smyrna, "Pergamos, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, Laodicea." I turned to see the voice that spake to me, and turning to see the voice, he saw 7 golden candlesticks. He saw something maybe he wasn't looking for, but when he looked to see Jesus' voice, he knew his voice, he turned to look, he saw a scene. And that scene is the whole Gentile dispensation. He saw every bit of it. And that's me and you. We're included in that. We're included in this vision. I don't know if you know that or not. We're included in this vision. You're standing in it today. In the Laodicean church age. We're not in it. We're not of it, but we're in it. And in the midst of the 7 candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the paps with a golden girdle. He that had in his right hand 7 stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword. That's the message. Now let's read. "Unto the angel of the church in Smyrna write, these things saith the first and the last, which are dead, which was dead and is alive. I know thy works in tribulation and poverty." Now, look, he didn't say, "I'll get you out of these." Right. He did not say, "I'm going to spare you. I'm going to get you out." He says, "I know thy works. I know thy tribulation. I know thy poverty, but thou art rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogues of Satan." We know all Jews are not Jews. Right? All Israel is not Israel. "Fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt," praise God, "of the second death." You may be seated, and the Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. As we've been saying before, I want you to understand this. This whole excuse me, this whole message that we're on of the 7 church ages is complete and final revelation of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles. We get nothing else. We don't get the 144,000 message.
That's right.
We get the message that's given in this age through the mouth of God, or this, as we say, the announcement in heaven. It came out of the mind of God. And if you don't know what that word logos is, that word logos is speech. In other words, God is Elohim. God's not even God until he created angels. Hello? God is an object of worship. God is not even a name. All right? To be a God, you have to have something to worship you. So God was not God until he created something to worship him. Then he became God. But he didn't want to stay God. He wanted to talk. And in order for him to talk so that we little pea brains can understand it, it was called, as the scholars say, the logos, or the speech, or the word of God is coming forth. In other words, he's saying something that you and I can understand. I mean, how can this guy that, and I say guy because he's a man, how can this guy that knew everything from way back before he even created the world, he knew every gnat and how many triple billion zillion gnats there would be in this earth. And Brother Brown even goes closer. He says, and how many times a little gnat batted his eye? He knew that. How are you going to understand that guy? You can't. You can't even understand eternity. Because you know what? You're going to look at your watch in a few minutes and say, he sure has been going a while. But time is what we have to live in. Some of us preachers step off into eternity every once in a while and preach a few hours, but that's okay. You can sit and watch a ball game for a couple hours. Out of the mind of God comes the logos. So in other words, it don't stay in his mind. Because remember, if he thought it but never said anything, it's not going to come to pass. Same way with you. You, even us as finite beings, listen, even us as finite beings, we have thoughts in our mind. And like Brother Gary, he's walking in the door now. But somebody gives him a plan to build a house. Well, if he looks at that and says, that's a good plan. And he turns around and goes back home. Never goes to the job site. Well, it's in his mind. It's a good plan. It looked like a really good house. Somebody really did a good job with these plans. But until he goes and says, hey, I need 2,500 two-by-fours. Logos. I need this. I'm instructing someone to bring me these things. Then he goes, I am the builder. I'm going to build this house according to these plans. That's the way God is. He built us and the solar system and everything we do. He built it from his mind because he can't change. He can't have a different thought. Like I said before, don't ever say God don't love me no more. If God ever loved you one time, praise the Lord. Oh, come on, somebody. If you just catch that, if he ever loved you, he can't unlove you. He can't. I don't even think he wants to. He don't want to change his mind. His mind's solid. You know what? So we can depend on our finite brain can now understand a little piece of his infinite brain that he's brought it down to me and you. And this is the mind of God living out right here in front of everybody. But it was sealed up at one time. Paul's message was sealed up in God even when... All right, I'm going to do it real quick. So when God had this thought in the Old Testament... Now, what did Brother Brown say? He said that he took Moses up into heaven, right? Showed him the tabernacle and how to build it, but he showed him Jesus Christ, which would be out of court, in a court, holy of holies. The pattern. Well, Moses comes down, what? Catches the mind of God, comes down, builds the tabernacle. But when he come over into the New Testament, they said, well, God said, sacrifice and offerings, I wouldeth not. I don't want no more of this. It stinks. You've made it a mockery, but a body thou hast prepared me. Now, that tabernacle that Moses saw that was a literal tabernacle, outer court, inner court, holy of holies, is now standing in front of you today. You walked in with your tabernacles. Whatever you got in your holy of holies, it may be unholy, but it can be holy. Outer court, you got sunshine, you got rain. You got Gentiles coming in, you got Gentiles going out. You got animals being slain, you got all this blood and guts everywhere, but then you go back into the next compartment and you've got a candlestick and you got a little shoe bread, but only a certain group can go back into there. Then the high priest takes everything from there and goes into the Holy of Holies, one man. Quietness, when that curtain drops, could you imagine? knowing that God's fixing to appear. And you're the only one that's going to see him. You have that in you right now. Every day of your life, if you're born again, you have what Israel longed to see. Was they wanted to see that. Sure, they could see the Shekinah, they could see the cloud. They could see that the cloud dropped down into that Holy of Holies. We got a picture of it back there. Where that cloud goes right down in the Holy of Holies. They wanted to see who that was. Amen. You are who that was.
Yes, right.
What you got inside of you is the same thing that met Moses, that met Aaron, that met the different ones that went in the Holy of Holies. You possess that now. That's what God wanted. He didn't want that. He wanted to prepare a body. And he's prepared a body called a bride now. But he stepped her through seven church ages so that we can understand. Like I said before, you start studying Irenaeus. And I can see in just a very short period of time that I researched Irenaeus, what a great ministry he had. What a separated ministry he had. Well, listen, Paul was separated. If Paul was separated, Irenaeus has got to be separated. Martin's got to be separated. Columba's got to be separated. Luther's got to be separated. Remember, Luther was separated from the Catholic Church. See, Brother Brown come out of Pentecost. He didn't want nothing to do with denominations. He had to come out. So they're all separated. So why me and you trying to stay in? I don't mean us. I mean, why do we try to go back? The answer is not backwards. The answer is forward.
Amen.
That's why Brother Dustin and I were talking last night. You see the deception of the devil. Because you take people who've been in this message for 30, 40 years. Preach the message. And they walk away. That's still got to be going through their mind. But somewhere Satan has got that thing so calloused until they don't even think about it anymore. How in the world could you come from out from under the Shekinah glory and go back into the filth?
Amen.
You never got the Shekinah glory in the first place is what it was. So you make sure you got the Shekinah glory, because remember, the Bible says even the elect could be deceived. But Brother Branham, thank God for a prophet. He said, no, she will not. She will not be deceived. Why? Because she's got the one. Listen, you'll be deceived if you got the deceiver inside you. But if you got the revealer inside of you, the deceiver's not there. So there's the one you hold on to. That's that anchor holds, and that's the Beulah Land that we've been singing. We sing about all these things like that, but when you start singing Beulah Land, it's like Brother Michael said. He said, don't you want to go there? Why do you want to stay here? I want to go there. I want that to come here. Listen, this is truth. This is truth. There is no other truth in the world. There's part truth. Baptists have part truth. Everybody's got part truth. And like I said before, God don't just talk to the bride. He talks to a lot of people. Okay? And he anoints and inspires people. But there's only one bride. One. He don't have two wives. He divorced Israel for what she did, and he married a bride. And he's not going to divorce us, because that's why he divorced her, because she went whoring, and we're not going to. We're the bride of Jesus Christ, the virtuous, sinless bride of Jesus Christ. You say, oh, I sin every day. Yes, you do. But God, through that filter of grace and mercy, can't see it. He hears your voice. God, I didn't mean to do that. God, I didn't mean to do that. I am so sorry. And he knows whether you're sorry or not. Because there's a difference in being sorry because you got caught. Come on, somebody. And being really sorrowful. Godly sorrow, the Bible says, leads what? Leads to repentance. Godly sorrow leads to repentance. All right? I don't know why I got on that, but that won't charge. I won't charge anything for that. So a mystery is unfolded. In other words, it comes out of the mind of God. The reason I'm going over this is so miraculous. God did this. God did it. Not somebody that might be true. Not somebody that might have it right. This guy was right from the beginning.
Yes, sir.
And he's trying to give us a piece at a time, because we can't take it all at one time. We go crazy. So he gives it to us, first church age. Then he gives to second church age. And then here we are though in Laodicea, where much is given, much is required. We're required to see all that, to be able to see how God moves up to your day right here.
Yes.
And we'll read it in just a few minutes where Brother Branham says, Brother Branham even says the evil that was in the first church age lapped itself over in every church age and came right down to this age right here. So we didn't leave the evil. We didn't leave it down in that first church age. No, if it was in the first church age, it's going to be in this one.
Right.
Grievous wolves, grievous wolves. Falling away from the faith, falling away from the faith. Same thing. So a mystery is unfolded to the star of the age, which is one messenger. One messenger to each age, not four or five, not 15 or 20. One. And that piece matches exactly what God saw. And when it did, boom, then there you have eternity, the Logos. Paul was so much a prisoner, he said, I'm not of my own self.
Right.
I got to have the mind of Christ.
Yeah. Right.
He tells you, you got to have the mind of Christ.
Amen.
And the way it's called heresy, do I serve this God?
Right.
Crazy. Every once in a while, it's not bad to go crazy.
Amen.
Stay that way, might have a problem. But it doesn't hurt, but every once in a while, get a little crazy. And that's all right. If you want to run the aisle, go ahead. If you want to shout, if you want to praise the Lord, you'll go right ahead. As long as of God, it'll get you somewhere. Like that old guy said, the guy was running the aisles, and he ran over the, you know, he was in Pentecost, and he was running through the, he ran over the bench and fell and broke his leg. And he said he did it for the glory of God. And that old man said, God wasn't in that, or you wouldn't have broke your leg. Okie dokie then. Thank God for people that can tell the truth. So a trumpet sounds. So a message is brought. Paul brings a message. We're going to look. See, Irenaeus is fixing to bring a message. But it's, look, it's a distinct and declared message. It's for that age, this age, and all the other ages. So it starts a spiritual war. The true word versus the false doctrine. Because false doctrine, listen. Who was true first? God. Then Satan comes in and perverts. Always. Satan is not an originator of anything. Except sin. You got it? But he takes what God, he takes the true and makes false out of it. So the true word had to strike the earth and then a false word come right behind it. All right, everybody with me? So that's going to be all the way through, all the way, even in this age. Remember Brother Branham come out and he had the signs and the wonders and then they started doing the oil in the hands and doing, and they were hitting and missing every once in a while? That wasn't a God. That was an imitation. We don't want imitation. We want the truth. So then the messenger is laid away or taken off the earth, as we were talking about the other day. He didn't let Paul continue on. He didn't let Brother Branham continue on because everybody's looking at the messenger, looking at the messenger, looking at the messenger. You better be looking at Jesus Christ, your messenger. Now, he uses a voice. He uses a distinct person to bring that message. But it's God. If it's Logos then, it's got to be Logos now.
Yeah.
All right? So look, people will accept it or reject it, as we were talking about free will this morning. It brings a temporary judgment or a plague. What? The ones that turn it down get a plague. The ones that receive it, we get a blessing. He that overcometh. You know, they had one thing to overcome. You know, we in this age, we have all those things to overcome. But listen. God equipped us to do it.
Amen.
He knew we'd be here. There is no time God said, oops, I didn't mean to do that. Everything he has is a purpose for you and me, not for him. He's eternal. He don't need me. He don't need air to breathe. He don't need an earth to stand on. But he wants you because you were in his mind. You were very part of him, and he wants to express you.
Amen.
In this time of the darkest, most evil time that ever was is right here today.
Amen.
And you're sitting in it. And tomorrow you're going to go into Monday, which is the devil day anyway, especially at the post office. I don't know about y'all. But God's still there.
Amen.
God's still working. He don't take vacations. Praise
Amen.
God. So the next stage comes. There's another announcement. Then out of the mind of God comes the second part, or a sealed up message comes, and Irenaeus is, I'm sure, listen, that's what surprises me, because Paul, I don't think Paul ever sat in his study one day, or prison. He spent a lot of time in jail. Paul spent a lot of time in jail. He was a prisoner. But he was a prisoner to Christ. He wasn't a prisoner to to them because they let him go wherever he wanted to. But I don't think Paul sat there and was writing, and he was writing to the Corinthians and different ones. And I don't think at that point in time he said, I'm writing the Bible. No, he was writing to the Corinthians because they were doing some bad stuff. He was writing to the Thessalonians. He was writing to Timothy, telling him some things he needed to do. But it developed into, it was the whole time, it was God working in Paul. Why am I saying this? Because whatever happened then has got to happen now. I don't think Paul ever said, now I think I'm the first church age messenger. He probably didn't even know nothing about. See, remember, he died before John went to Patmos and had this vision. Now, God may have revealed stuff to Paul, different things, but I don't think he said, well, now I'm church age number one and Irenaeus is coming. That was left to me and you in the end time. That was left that the book will be open. That we'll be able to see from cover to cover. Paul said, I looked through a glass darkly. He could see something coming, but he just didn't know what it was. But we praise God that he's given us time in the end time. Time in the end time to pick these things up and say, man, there was Paul, the great mighty Paul, wrote 80% of the Bible. They actually call it the Paulinian Bible in different places. So he wrote 80% of the New Testament, not the Old Testament, but New Testament. And then here we got Irenaeus, and we see in a few minutes his powerful, powerful message that Irenaeus brought. And he still held on to one God, and he still held on to water baptism in the name of Jesus Christ, because he was under that lion age of the combat beast, the lion, ox, man, and eagle. The lion age was the first three church ages, 1, 2, and 3. So we're in the second church age, but they were bold. Where have we lost our boldness? We have lost it. That don't mean to be arrogant. There's a difference in arrogant and bold. Okay. So remember that everything started with the age of Pentecost. We'll look at it in just a minute on the chart. The messenger was the Holy Ghost. Then the Alpha Age started, or the Ephesian Church Age started about AD 53. And then Paul died around 64 to 67 AD. They don't know exactly what year. They didn't keep really good records back then. From 64 to 67, he was killed because that's the time that Nero was on throne, whatever he was there in Rome. So the Ephesian church age, though, ended around AD 170. So Paul left the scene in 64, 65, 66, and then it went on another, 150 years almost, or 50 years almost, a little more than that. That somebody had to pick that message up and sweep it to Irenaeus. But what happened was the original messenger was gone. Only a certain group of people picked that up and carried it. What happened was the grievous wolves took it in this direction. The false teaching took it in this direction. Because we're going to see here as we go through the church ages, that was 170 A.D. Well, now 325 A.D. is when they had the Nicene Council there in Nicaea, Rome. And that's when everything started turning into just mush. They took everything out of the Bible and put it on a pope. All right? But we'll see that in just a little bit. So the Ephesian church age ended around AD 170. But what happened is we're going to see this chart, and I'm going to read you the Bible. If you look at that chart, you see Pentecost. This is all your seven church ages. There's your stars, Paul, Irenaeus, Martin, Columbus, Luther, Wesley. And then you got the Holy Ghost like it was over here. And then you got the Elijah of the end time, which carries us over into eternity. All right, we'll explain that in just a little bit, maybe not today. But you got Paul. You see that blue over there? It says Paul. I don't know if you see it in the very back. But it says porters. What happened? Now, in Pentecost, Paul was not the spokesman of Pentecost. The Holy Ghost was the spokesman of Pentecost. Right. All right? But then Paul comes along in AD 53 and establishes a church in Ephesus, starts bringing his message. So Brother Bradham makes an outstanding statement. We'll read it here in just a few minutes. He said, each messenger comes at the end of the age. Well, now look, if this was the first age, everybody with me? This is the first age. If Paul came at the end of the first age, he'd have come right here, and he'd have missed his whole, everybody over here. But Paul came at the end of Pentecost of AD 30 to AD 53 or 56. Paul brings his message, and he brings a message, dies. The message carries on, but then it starts going down. But there's an overlap here, or an open door, where it laps over. Literally, these things right here should be... Everybody seen the, what is it, the Olympic rings? How they're all connected? These should all be connected. Because they don't abruptly end and another one begin. Everybody with me? This is chart was made where you can see each church age individually. But this church age lapped over in this overlap where a porter comes in. We were talking about this morning. We'll read the scripture there I believe it's in John. But then Paul comes at the end of the Pentecostal age, brings his message. Then Irenaeus comes at the end of the age. He doesn't come at the end of his age. He comes at the end of Paul's age, which is Ephesus. He comes in and brings the message to Smyrna. So now I'll pull it up on the screen. You don't have to go to it. Brother Brown said, look, now each church age had its messenger. We know that. Paul was the first messenger. And when the first trumpet sounded, the first seal tore loose, Paul was the first messenger as we found. What did he do? Declared a war on the Orthodox Church for not believing the Messiah sign that Jesus had produced to them. While they should have known it, they should have known him. Remember, Paul come at the end of the age. So what age did he come at the end of? End of Pentecost. All right? From AD 30 to AD 50 something, he comes at the end of that age, that Pentecostal age. All the messengers come at the end of the age. It's at the end time when these things are brought forth. So the end time is when it ends it all up. All right, everybody with me? Let's go to John 10. Let's read about this porter. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door. Now, who is the door? The door is Jesus Christ. It's not another man. It's Jesus Christ. I am the door, he said. I am the way, the truth, and the life. So the porter is not the door. The porter is the introducer to the door. Everybody with me? But he's got to have the mind of what the door is and what's behind it for him to be a porter. All right? In other words, pick up the mind of God, the Logos, and tell you what's in there. As we were talking, the Ritz-Carlton or wherever you want to go, to a motel. But if you don't come in by the door... If you climb in some other way, you're a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. Now, entereth. Entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. You got to realize one thing. Sheep need a shepherd. And as a shepherd, being the pastor of the church, you're the shepherd. But listen, we got a chief shepherd. Amen. We got a shepherd that we all got to look to, and which is the door, Jesus Christ. If we keep him the center of everything, we are good.
Yes.
Do not ever put something in front of him.
That's right.
So if you'll keep it that way and keep your line up, then everything's fine. That's why people couldn't keep it. They couldn't see Brother Branham as a porter. They saw him as the door. Hello? They saw him as God. He's not God. He's a porter to introduce you to the door. But he that entereth by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth. All right, look, to him, in other words, who's coming in, the porter openeth. So there's an open door between each age. And we'll look at it in just a second. And look, and the sheep hear his voice. Now remember, I like what Brother Brown says about a pastor. You know, a pastor lives with his people. And being beekeepers... we were talking about it last night. You can put 10 hives across that wall right there, and you can put 10 different sets of bee colonies and 10 different queens, and this one right here won't fly into that one if he's supposed to be, or she's supposed to be in this one. Why? There's an odor. Their queen gives off an odor different from the next one. They go by smell. Sheep go by smell. They don't know their shepherd by name. They're not humans. Right? So you got to smell the same as your sheep. I don't know where that came from. Because if you don't smell like your sheep, what's the sheep going to do? That ain't my shepherd. Right? So you go by smell. And literally, we have had 10 hives, and there's no, they call it drifting a little bit, but 99% of those bees, if she comes from this direction, she's supposed to be over there, she'll fly straight over there. Them other bees are going to go to their hive because of the odor that the queen gives off that's different, or pheromone that she gives off that's different than the rest of them. So same way with the sheep. The shepherd lives so much with the sheep, he smells like the sheep. We'll stop on that right there. To him... to him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice. And he call, look, he calleth his own sheep by name. All right. And leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goes before them, and the sheep follow. For they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him. For they know not the voice of strangers. Amen. Wow. My sheep hear my voice. Amen. Now the Greek lexicon tells us that that word porter, which is thuros, which is through, it's also a watcher. Or one that keeps the door. He's not the door, he's the keeper of the door. Amen. Everybody with me? He's not the door. He's the keeper of the door. But he knows what's behind the door. God has give him the mind to know what's behind that door. All right, if you take a porter that's never been in a Ritz-Carlton and you put him in front of the Ritz-Carlton, he's a porter. But he don't know what's behind that door because he had to listen to that part of what? The shepherd to know what's behind it. So you got to be at the right place at the right time. All right? Put the right porter in the right place and he'll tell you about the door. So let's look right here and see again that Paul comes at the end of the age of Pentecost, which there's a lap over time. Then when Paul is finished and his message is starting to dwindle, Brother Brown says, his message starts to, in other words, what? There's divisions, factions, everything starts. Listen, the only person that likes to divide and conquer is who? The devil. All right? God doesn't. Stick together. So that porter comes then at the end of the Ephesus or Ephesian church age. Irenaeus comes on the scene at that period of time, and he brings a message. All right? But there's also some lap over between Paul and Irenaeus, and I'll show you here in just a minute. That lap over, as we were talking this morning, to me that equals grace of God. To not just say abruptly, all right, you've heard Brother Branham, I say it. You can't hear him no more. You either take it, leave it, or done. No, there's a lap over time. A lot of those Pentecostals were still Pentecostals when Brother Branham was preaching. They were still Pentecostals after he got finished preaching. But there was, praise God, there was somebody heard the right voice. They heard the right voice and they said, oh, he's not the door, but he's the one that's going to introduce us to the door. We're going into the right place at the right time. Amen. Right. Only the hand of God can do that. Yeah. How'd he call you? How'd you get here? Amen. Some of you have heard other voices. Amen. Some of you may be hearing voices now. And I'm not talking about the ministry here. I'm talking about the message of the hour. Yes. When God called a group of people, you had to respond. If there was nothing in you to respond, you ain't going to respond. And we know one thing's for sure. There was nothing in us that was eternal. It was the thoughts of God that come looking for me and you. Knowing we would accept it, and when we did, he would give us a new birth. The seed's the word of God. You had to hear the word of God. Not only hear it, you had to accept it. I heard the word of God for 20 years every once in a while, right? We come on Christmas and Easter, and Mother's Day every once in a while. And I heard a preaching, but it went. But there was one time when it was my time, he called and I answered. Same way with you. There's a time God called and you answered. And you heard that porter tell you, here's the door, here's the way, and what's behind that is what? Holiness.
Yes.
Sanctification. What's behind that is a clean living.
Yes.
What's behind that is no letter to get in the church. Yes. Amen. What behind that door is how to get baptized. Come on. How to live right. Amen. How to talk right. Come on. How to go to church. How to do the things of God. Yeah. Inside of there. Not outside here. Not in the outer court.
Yes, sir.
People going up and down the street never even pay attention to that building. But somehow you got to that building and you said, tell me what this building's about. I see this door, this man called Jesus. I've heard of this over here. I've heard of this over here. I've heard of Super 8, and I've heard of, what's the one to leave the light on? Red Roof Inn or whatever. Tom Bodette. I knew I'd get you to laugh sometime before you left. I knew you would. But Tom Bodette don't have the light that's left on. The message of the hour is what's got the light that's on. But we went to these different motels. We went to these different places. But there was one time we go walking down the road and something goes, stop. He says stop and you stop. Millions of others just walked right on by. And he may have said stop and they didn't pay him any attention. Oh, we don't want to do that. We heard what's behind that building. You got to live right. We'll go over here to this Super 8 where you don't have to live. Why am I using motel? Where you don't have to live right over here. Sister, you can praise God in life all you want to. You're good. You're good. Good to have you with us. Good spirit about you. Appreciate you. But it's not an example. It's the truth. Millions of people go rushing up and down life and never even look. God's got them like, where's Luis? Netflix. He says you don't have an account, but I'm going to talk to him about that. I'll talk to him before he gets back. But we did. There's billions of people go up and down the road of life and never even pay attention. And here's a man standing at a door. The door's here. That door's Jesus Christ. They stand right here, and this man is compelling them. Remember, the Bible says, go into the highways and compel them to come in. In other words, now the porter's out in the middle of the road. He's saying, come in. I don't care. Come in. Come as you are. But you're not going to leave as you are. If you really get something. Everybody all right? I really didn't mean to use the motel, but that's really what it is. I mean, the porter stands at the door. And you've seen, I've seen them in the movies. You've seen them, they stand there with a really nice coat, and they're presentable. So anybody can walk up to them that wants to. But do you really want to know? Oh, I heard about that. I heard about that religion, them cult people. Them cult people, they follow a man. Everybody follows a man.
Yes, sir.
My God, Jim Jones got 500 people to kill herself. Don't drink the Kool-Aid. But can you imagine? He duped 500 people into committing murder. Willfully. Why can't we get God to lead us into the truth? If he can lead that group of people into killing themselves because of religion. Listen, he was a religious man. He was in Brother Brown's meetings. Did y'all know that? Jim Jones was in Brother Brown's meetings. Yes, he was. He sure was. But you see what he done? He took his own twist and took the people off, and they all died. But how many people spiritually died since they turned the message down? It wouldn't go through that door, because you know what? That door is not so illustrious. It's not so beautiful. The Bible said there's no beauty that we should desire him. He's standing there, little short guy. He's got a crown of thorns on his head. But he's the most beautiful thing you'll ever see in your life if you become a Christian. That's the most beautiful thing you'll ever see in your entire life. If you'll look at those nail-scarred hands and know he did it for you. But you had to have somebody tell you about him. I didn't do it that way. God set it up that way. God set it up that you would hear seven church-age messengers The people of those ages depended on Irenaeus to bring them a message. The people of Martin. When Irenaeus passed on, we'll look at it in a minute. Irenaeus actually passed on the same time, about in the middle of the age. We'll see it up when we get to Columba. He died before the age even started. But his message, amen. It's the message that carries this thing on. Yes, not the person. Amen. It's the message, the voice. It's looking at, looking, sometimes you got to look past the porter. He may be not the best looking thing in the world. But he's your porter. He's your introducer to what's behind the door. And that's what these church ages are. Listen, Brother Brown says that the seals, there was a seal. There's a seal over that door. But see, he wants you to go through that door. Well, he breaks the seal back and says, hey, come on in. Come on in. Come on in and enjoy. Enjoy Christianity. Don't make it a drudgery. Enjoy Christianity. Enjoy going through trials. You know, we hate to, we're not going to get up in the morning and go, what's next? But we should get up in the morning and go, what's next? I got to quit hollering. I'm going to get one of them things like Andrew's got that sticks in his ear where he talks like this all the time. But gets excited. I'm 64. But there was an open door or an overlap that went from Paul's age to Irenaeus' age. All right? So now let's watch. Let's read this. Everybody with me? You're not asleep today, boy. Nobody's going to sleep. Well, praise the Lord. I'm gonna pull this out. I told him the other day, you know, with Dad, we have to kind of follow him around during the day. And to get my sermons, sometimes this is the way I have to get them. Careful, Dad. Don't get on that. Or either I got my tablet out and I'm looking up some quotes, you know, during that time. But you know what? Praise God, it works. Oh, I underplugged that. Sorry. I hope I didn't mess it up. Help! I need a porter. Thank you. All right, let's read this. Let's look at this real quick. Everybody okay? All right. It's hot up here. The Philadelphian church age, 1960. Brother Bram said, look, now there's one of the striking things, though. Keep bearing in your mind that these church ages start, and whatever is in that one church age, it goes all the way through every church age, and each one of the church ages lap over one another. Now, if you don't know what a lap over is, Brother Gary does, because you build stairs. All right? Stairs are not hung out in the middle of space. You start at a base, right? You put a board up. You lap over this board. Then on this board, you lap another board. You don't put it on the side. You put it right on top of it, right? Brother Gary, put it right on top of it pretty much. Because what? It supports itself. There's a support going all the way up. And that's what this is. This is a lap over. You've lapped over the stairs so that you can get to another church age. Brother Brown will explain it in a minute. And each of the church ages laps over another. If you study the history close with the book, you'll find out. It's like laps like this, laying over each other. And one church age is going out. The angel that comes in between there. All right, well, let me get back to my. Now, what the angel's going to do, I'm going to read the quote, but not verbatim. But what happens is this messenger picks up the mind of God, the logos of God. But what does he do? He rebukes these back here from falling away. He understands that there's something going on that the people are getting cold. And Irenaeus says, they're getting cold. I'm going to begin to proclaim a message that brings them out of that in the overlap and then brings this group of people in. Listen, it must be perfect because God's wanted done that. We didn't. All right? Amen? So now, one church age going out, the angel comes in between there. It's to call back that church to faith that it once lost. It's always been that. And I didn't realize this. I'm a pretty smart guy, but I didn't realize this right here. It took a prophet. Did you know where the book of Jude is placed in the right place in the Bible? Watch what Brother Brown says. Look at Jude, the last book in the Bible, in other words, before Revelation. till you hit the revelation there. Jude said, I wrote unto you that you might earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The lapping over between the apostles. Corinthians, Hebrews, Timothy, all those, right? Jude comes on the scene and writes a lap over to lap us into the book of Revelations. Thank God for a prophet. And he's telling them, declaring them to earnestly contend for the faith that was once delivered to the saints. In other words, back here. Now watch what Brother Brown said. The lapping over between the apostles and the coming of the revelation, because most of the apostles were dead. See, they were gone on. There was only one living, and that's John, and he's going to be the porter or the one that's going to bring us into the book of Revelations. Yes. He's the one that Jesus was talking about. He said, some of you won't die until you see my coming. Where did he see his coming at? Chapter 1. I turned and looked and saw seven. Oh, hallelujah. Seven golden candlesticks. And there's a bride. And John's like, whoa, that's what he meant. That's what he meant. He's coming back in the bride. Because there's one thing for sure. John had the Holy Ghost. And the Holy Ghost wrote the word. Had to correspond with the Holy Ghost that was in John. And that's why John in Revelation 5 screamed out and everybody heard him. We ought to try that sometime. When you see your name on the book, you ought to start screaming and shouting, because there's a lot of people don't have their name on the book. Oh, they have it on a book of life. But I'm looking at the Lamb's book of life. The eternal section. The part that God put totally aside. No one can touch it. Because remember, in the other parts, you can have your name erased. Because Judas was in the book of life. He was in the Lamb's book of life, but not the eternal section. Brother Brown said his name was marked out. He was given a chance, in other words. There's not a great big book up there. Come on, people. When we go to the white throne judgment, there's not going to be dust go everywhere. It ain't going to be James Colley, because he ain't going to be there. He's going to be standing back here. But so-and-so, no, it ain't going to be that. Where is your book written today? Right here. In your actions. That's what the old phrase says. Sister, tell me, I could read you like a... Is she a book? Am I a book? No, I'm not a book, but I am the book. I'm the book that's written. The Bible says written epistles, known and read of all men. So hallelujah. You're looking at the book, and I'm looking at the book. And if you got eternal life today, I'm looking at the eternal section. Never can be taken out. You'll never sin enough to be taken out. Because you know what? If your name's in there like that, you won't sin like that. Pretty simple. The lapping over between the apostles and the coming of the revelation, because most apostles were dead then, see, was gone on. One living at that time, that was St. John the Divine, which is the revelator or writer that got the revelation from the angel of the Lord to write the book of Revelations. Remember, he didn't get it from an angel. He got it from Jesus Christ, the angel. If you read your Bible, look at the book of Revelations. There's a lot of red letters in there. That usually constitutes that Jesus is talking. Now you see they lap over one another. So now I guess you've noticed that and picked it up coming down as I've been mentioning it. How that here in the Sardis age, he's talking about the Sardis age, that was the marriage age. Actually, the church never really come into full existence until Thyatira, but he got married in Sardis. Sardis means being a marriage. Now we'll read this later on, because I'll explain what he just said. There is an explanation for that. The church age started in Ephesus, but I know what he's talking about, and I'll break it down for you when we get to the Sardisian church age. Now, if you notice, it married here and then lapped over into that age there. And you notice Luther last night come out with a dead name, a name of dead, and then escape one. See, it had the dead church from back here, the escaping of the little remnant that was brought out in this age here. We'll get to that later. Then tomorrow night when it goes out, just at the end, now watch, notice, the angel appears right at the end time, just at the end time, to rebuke the church. Now, who did Brother Branham rebuke? The Pentecostals. More than anybody, he rebuked them for falling away from their first love. He really didn't do much. I mean, he called out Baptists and different ones, but he was in that Pentecostal rank. He said, you Pentecostals. He said, you shouted it out. He said, you stopped. God's moved on. Could you imagine being a staunch Pentecostal? That's why they didn't want to hear him later on. The angel appears right at the end time, just at the end time, to rebuke the church for it losing its first love and how it got away from God like they did down through there, the ages. Same time, the messenger, same thing the messenger does tonight. The angel messenger comes back to rebuke them, each age like that, for what they had done. So that makes a lap over in each of the church ages, just lap right over one another like that, like climbing up a step. It's laying in laps like that. In other words, like this. All right. Laodicean church age. Paul comes at the end of the age and on down into the age. The lap over, the lap part, that's when the angel comes. That's when the messenger comes at the end of the age and the lap over, as we were showing in the chart. End of the age, that's what makes it lap. See, to the angel speaking what was. This laps over here to the angel, the end of that age. See, picking up right here made the lap like stair steps going up the seven church ages. Now listen. Watch this right here. Every evil that was in that first church lapped over into the next one. In other words, we didn't leave him back under. He came right on up and he lapped over too. He sent his porter and his messenger. Just kept going on down until finally it ends up in complete apostasy in the last age. Every evil just keeps lapping over in each church. Every little ism that started out, like in Genesis, the vine started growing. It weaved its way through the church and comes out in the last days. No wonder the Bible says, blessed are they that escape in that day. Yes, sir, that escapes all these things. And here's where I wrote, look, the lap over equals grace. It was the grace of God that the people in Paul's age were getting so lax and so lackadaisical. They quit going to church all the time. And does it sound like now? Get lackadaisical. They probably ain't nothing. You know, Brother Wade's probably going to preach for a couple of hours. And we're going to have to sit there. And man, if I shut my eyes, he's going to scream at me. Well, if you wouldn't shut your eyes, I wouldn't scream at you. Kind of takes care of that. But, you know, Brother Branham, he raised his voice too, remember? The bride got out of step. He said, I woke up from the dream with my hands out like this, saying, get in line!
Amen.
So if the prophet messenger could say, get in line, we should be able to say, get in line!
Amen.
Most of our problems originate by not being in line. Then, like I said before, then you're trying to, you want this magic fairy dust, or you want this magic prayer to be prayed, or you want this magic switch to be flipped. There is one. It's called you. It's called doing what God said. If you sit down, I promise you, you sit down in your chair when you go home, and I'm going to quit right here. You sit down. Musicians, come on. Y'all don't sit down. Come on. You sit down in your chair. If I say sit down, if I don't finish this, I'm going to forget it. You're going to sit down at your house today, and I want you to do that just for about 5 minutes. Sit down somewhere and say, God, am I doing everything I'm supposed to do to progress further with you? Just give yourself 5 minutes. Do I have aught against my brother? Do I have aught against my sister? Am I not going to church because I don't like the person sitting beside me? I'm just standing over here. I wasn't condemning. I was just standing here. I thought maybe he didn't hear me. Yeah. Susan said, I like you. Brother Collie did not say anything back. You like her too? Okay, but I like her too. But let's be honest. Sometimes, like we said before, sometimes we want that magic pill. We want that quick, get rich, quick scheme. But remember, Christianity is not a microwave. It's a crock pot. A very slow crock pot. You know, when you turn it on low, it takes all day to cook in beans. But boy, at the end of the day, and beans are good. So you ask yourself today, let's all stand. You ask yourself today, am I doing everything I need to do for God to move in my life? If you say, well, I can't quit this and I can't quit that, all right, it starts with you.
Amen.
Remember I said the other day, the Bible says, that little small scripture says, resist the devil and he'll flee from you. Now, wait a minute. I didn't say assist. I said resist. I like that song, The Things I Used to Do. You don't have to sing it. I do them no more. Why? I'm a different person. I've been changed. We're looking for a change. It started the day God entered your soul. You started your change of your body because it starts from the inside. It's not going to be some switch you flip. It's going to be when the inside guy takes over the outside guy. Sometimes we let the outside guy take over the inside guy because of the sin that's all the way around us, and the things we know we shouldn't do, we do them anyway. That's called iniquity. So don't blame the preacher. Don't blame the deacons. Look in the mirror. Blame that person. I told my daughter one time, she was saying she does this because of this. I said, well, let me tell you something. I wasn't there to pour that alcohol in you. I wasn't there and shoved them pills down your throat. I said, you took them in your hand and you put them in your mouth. You opened the bottle and you drank it. Nobody forced you. You did it on your own. You did it yourself. Now, there is times when I understand you're forced to do things. But no, not like what I'm talking about. No. You can't blame nobody. You can't blame nobody but yourself. Well, you started with the right word. I. Listen. We're all here to help. But we can't help one person that don't want help. You cannot help somebody that don't want help. You know what Brother Brown said? When Brother Brown was standing in a prayer line, he cast a demon out of a sister, right? A few days later, he's telling the story. He said a few days later, the minister comes back and said, Brother Brown, that woman's doing the same thing she was doing. She's got that devil back on her. He said, she liked it. So it came back on her. So whose fault was it? It was hers. She liked it. Sometimes we like misery. We like. Oh, sorry. But we do. We're human beings. But we got to be transformed. Amen. Turned around. By the renewing of the mind that we had before, we are renewing the new you. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. You say, well, no, that's when I get a body change. You better start now. You better start now. You better get soul cleaned up. Don't worry about your sister. Don't worry about your brother. Don't worry about what Julie got wrong, so I ain't going to church. I'm just going to start taking pills because Julie got wrong by her sister. She knows that's not true. But we make those excuses. No, get yourself right.
Amen.
Yeah.
That's right, brother.
Look in the mirror and say, it's your fault.
Yeah. Amen.
And get you a big one, not one of them round ones. Get you a big old mirror. One of them, you need a real big one. Get one of them real big mirrors and stand in front of them and say, you're my problem. Remember what I read you? You cannot control what goes on out here, but you can control what goes on in here. You are God's. You can change a situation. By your testimony and by the word of your mouth, you can change things. By your words, you'll be what? Justified, and by your words, you shall be condemned. And it's the word of God, so it can't change. By your words. He didn't say by the preacher's words. He didn't say by the drum player's words, which is the deacon. I like that shirt. But it's by your words. God's not going to, listen, when you go to the white throne judgment, if you have to, I pray God nobody has to, you go to the white throne judgment, then ain't you in a group of people. It ain't you and your friends. Well, they may. Where are they? Oh, they're in line. They got to tell their own story. You'll stand up there by yourself and give an account of what they done. Nope. Give them what you done. Let's sing a song. God bless you. I love these church ages. I like to see the way God's developed, but he developed the bride. He's developing me and you. This is not a story. This is the truth. This is how Christianity works.
Living story.
If you have a need.
My God and Savior came.
What was? His name was Jesus.
Jesus was his name. Born in a manger.
Yes.
To his own a stranger. A man of sorrows, tears, and agony. Oh, how I love him. How I adore him. My breath, my sunshine.
You just got enough to save one of them. No, he saved this whole world. In about that split of a second.
That in the dead, not one faint hope.
That was us.
God gracious, tender.
He sent us grace.
His splendor, stooping to woo, to win,
to do what?
To save my soul.
He won't lose a one. He knew that person.
He took the form of man.
What'd he do? He revealed the hidden plan through God in human flesh. Now he's revealing the rest of his plan through God in human flesh.
Mystery, sacrifice of Calvary.
Do you know this?
And now I know.
My son.
in him. Sing it to him one more time. Tell him now.
Oh.
Sunshine. There's probably, I don't know how many people die in a day, but there's probably 25 or 30,000 people around the world die. That's not going to live past today. Their last breath is going to be drawn on this side. And if they ain't made a decision, as the tree falls, as the tree leans, that's how it's going to fall. We're not guaranteed one breath. Not even one. Yet every day we just breathe in and out. It's just an automatic process. Your body breathes out. Your cells do the work. It gets rid of the carbon dioxide. It brings the oxygen in. You got all the impurities that go in and out. You eat and all these different things. And people spit in God's face. Oh, how I love him. He created your body. Gave you life. Now, what are you doing with it? What are you doing with it? What are you doing with this gospel that all those people down through those church ages? We know there's one thing for sure. During the dark ages, there were 68 million Christians killed. That's on books. That's not just saying, well, I think it might have been. No. In the martyrology, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs. Catholic Church put it out. They killed 68 million people for being Christians and turning the Catholic Church down. And we have a bad day and we go crawling under the sheets and say, oh God, I'm so sorry. You've left me. He said, I'll never. Never what? Oh, never leave you nor forsake you. Like I said before, he can't turn against you. If he loved you from the beginning, he's going to love you all the way to the body change. And he's going to love you. I just before we go, I had a friend of ours pass away not too long ago. And he was a very good person. He wasn't a believer, but he was so good to the family, so good to us and different things. And, you know, we always wonder, why does, he was probably, 40 something years old, 45 years old. Why does God take somebody like that? Well, if he's going to be given eternal life because of you one day, God did him a favor. He ain't got to worry about nothing else to the white throne. He ain't got to worry about bills. He ain't got to worry about getting sick again. He's not got to worry about going through that awful tribulation that's coming. God has took him and preserved him. Let me give you a little secret. He preserved him for you. He preserved him for you. That's how much he thinks about me and you. Even the people that we associate with, it's good to me and you. The Bible says a cup of water in my name will not be forgotten here or there. So we've seen people that's been in our families and different things, been really good friends. And you wonder, why, Lord, did he them a favor? He took them out of all this and he's got them preserved in a place and they're standing there waiting. And it's the white throne judgment. God knows they're going to get eternal life because of you and what you represent. Boy, don't ever sell ourselves short. We're the bride of Jesus Christ. We're not arrogant and we're not, but we can be boastful about what the Bible says. We can boast in what God's done for us. We can boast that we are in this Bible and God's going to take care of us. Brother John, he's going to take care of us. He's going to take care of our family. He's going to take care. But remember, go home for about 10 minutes and just sit down and say, look, God, am I doing everything I need to do? Because remember, Brother Branham said, look, he said, when you've done everything you know to do, what'd he say? Run off. Quit church. Don't do. He said, stand right there. Stand right there. And he said, see the salvation of the Lord. Isn't that what Moses told him when he was at the Red Sea? He told Moses, he said, you tell him. He said, you tell him stand right there. Don't go running off. Now, if they went running all over the place, God had never produced what he produced, that great miracle of parting the sea. But he said, tell him to stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. I'm telling you today, stand still. On whatever you got going on in your life, you stand right there and say, God, now listen, he knows if you've done everything you need to do. So don't tell him, say, God, I've done everything I need to do. He'll probably remind you about some of the things that you're not doing. Read your Bible, study, pray. Prayer works. So let's pray for these meetings coming up. Pray for Brother Aaron being on Wednesday night. Pray for services coming up, because we want God to have his way and will in everything we do. Amen? All minds clear? Let's bow our head. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, today has been a wonderful day, Lord. We've worshiped you, Lord, in song and in word. Now I pray that you'll be with us on the highways, on the byways going home, Lord, and protect us and keep us from all evil, Father. Keep us from sickness, Lord, coming upon us. Father, keep us strong. We ask these things, Lord, because we know that the adversary, that he's quick also, and he wants to destroy us and do things. But, Lord, not until you're finished with us. And, Lord, I pray that you'd be with each one that is sick, Lord, that you would minister to their needs, Father. And I don't mean just sick in the body. I mean sick in their soul. Soul sickness is the worst thing. And, Father, you are the great physician, and you can heal that soul sickness. No one else can but you, Lord. And we give ourselves to you, Father. We rededicate our life in different, all of the different ones here in this building, Lord. I pray that we rededicate ourselves today, Lord, and that we would see, Lord, that you've come to give us salvation, deliverance, healing, and growth development into the stature of a perfect man, Lord. You've opened those doors for us, Father, and I pray that we'll be with the right porter, know where to go in the right door, and do the things inside, Father. I pray that you'd be with each one on the highways. Bless us until we come back together on Wednesday night. Bless Brother Aaron and give him strength, Lord. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Oh, the choir. If you're singing in the choir, stay here. I'm sorry.